All right. If you have your Bibles, grab one. If you have a Bible on device, open that up. Don't go on Instagram. Just go straight to the Bible app. If you don't have a Bible, I'm sure there's somebody around you. Just grab theirs. Or if you want, we'll have scripture up on the screen. Encourage you to always bring your Bible, always bring a device that has the Bible on it, because we go through the Bible. We make that the that's beyond that, we don't have really much to say. And so we are in Galatians. If you're new with this, we've been in this series through the book of Galatians for 14 weeks. Next week is going to be the last week on that. And so it's, to me, it's been a really good series. I don't think I've said circumcision more than I have in the last 14 weeks. And so I'm actually looking forward to not preaching about circumcision anymore. So I'm just looking forward to that. But it's been good. I'm hope that you've been encouraged and blessed through this series. If you ever been to a new place and you're not familiar with it, for example, like if you're new today and you've never been to a church or a church like ours, it can be a little bit overwhelming, right? You come in and you're like, these people are singing songs and they're standing and some of them are raising their hands like, do they have a question about the song? You know, it's like, it could be a bit confusing when you're in a new place and you're not sure what to do. And it's always helpful if there's a guide or some instruction on okay, where do I go? Where do I sit? What do I do? What am I supposed to do? It's helpful. Like if you go to if you're traveling, if you like to travel and you go to a new airport and you're not familiar with the airport and you get off the plane, what's the first thing you look for? The bathrooms, right? Right? You're like, show me the bathroom, because no one likes really getting in a little tube in this bathroom where it's turbulence, you know, that kind of thing. So you get off, and you're like, all right, gotta go find the restroom. And then the second thing you look for is baggage. Where's my baggage at, or where the rental cars, whatever it is. And so you rely on information. You rely on a guide. You rely on signage to help you along the way. When I was first in college, when you go to college for the first time, you generally, in the school I went to, they had somebody meet you, and they take you and guide you up to your room and say, here's your room, here's the map, here's the information about the school, here, the most important thing, here's where, when we eat and where you eat at. You're like, all right, that's all I need to know, classes down the road. But I remember going to school, and the guy was leading us to a room, and I was with my parents, and I go into this room, and my roommate at the time had already been there a week or two because he was in leadership. He was an upperclassman. I was a freshman. For somehow we got in the same room. And I remember they opened up this door, and it was kind of hard to open up the door because there was so much garbage, like Taco Bell bags and pizza cartons. And there was this smell that came out of this room. And I turned and I looked at my mom, and she was like fearful and angry at the same time. Mom's gonna realize, like, no, my son's not going in this room. And it was just like, and the funny thing is my roommate's last name was Pugh. I kid you not, Jim Pugh was his name. And he was a bit of a mess. And but the funny thing is he he became a Navy chaplain. I don't know how that worked, but it's funny. So we rely on guides, you rely on things to help you feel at ease and comfortable going into something, and it's helpful. What we're looking at today is that the Holy Spirit is our guide in life. In the last part of Galatians chapter 5, and all of chapter 6 are some practical stuff of how We who, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you said yes to Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit then resides in your life. It says that you are, in essence, the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides you. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will be our guide, who will lead us and direct our paths. And so there's different terminology with the Spirit. There's people have called their Spirit-filled Christians. How many have ever heard that? A Spirit-filled believer. And what they mean by a Spirit-filled believer is that that person is filled with the Spirit and shows evidence of the manifestations or the gifts of the Spirit in their life. So they say, that's a Spirit-filled believer. But I just want to throw out something to you. If you're a Christian, you're a Spirit-filled believer. You have the Spirit in you. There's no class A or class B Christians. All of us have the Spirit in us, and the Spirit does give us gifts, different gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12, different gifts as the Spirit directs us and leads us. And so I would encourage you to dive in to discover what that gift is in your life. But what I want to talk about today is not being a Spirit-filled, working in the gifts of the Spirit, but being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, and having the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, and specifically how the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us in our relationship with other people, how we are to engage with other people. Because we see in the book of Acts, which is, by the way, we are going to be starting a new series starting in July through the book of Acts. And it's going to be a great series. It'll probably take us a long time, a year, two, maybe a decade. I don't know, until Jesus returns. We have the lineup of it, and I've gone through until the end of August, and we only go through, I think, three chapters. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be, I promise you, it's gonna be fun. But where was I going? Okay. In the book of Acts, what you see is that the Spirit has come upon the people of God, the church. You have the Spirit, and the Spirit's leading them. And for example, you have Peter, who is led by the Spirit to go to a guy's house named Cornelius, who is a Gentile. And so by that Spirit leading Peter into this house, the Gentiles now hear the gospel. So we also have Paul, who is radically changed by God. The Spirit leads Paul to go to certain cities and start churches in those cities. And the Spirit leads him not to go to certain cities. And so the Spirit is leading him. Then you have this guy named Philip, where the Spirit leads him to go to an area to walk along this road. And along comes this chariot of this man who's on his way to Egypt, and he's reading the Word of God. And the Spirit leads Philip to go up to that chariot to tell that man about what he is reading. And it leads this man to Jesus Christ. So as people who have said yes to Jesus, you have the Spirit in us. It should be a natural outflowing that the Spirit leads you. Every single one of us in this room should be led by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit, to be used by the Spirit. In fact, we talked about this last week where Paul writes this in Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so I explained to you, walking by the Spirit is just this desire to walk daily with God, that we want to stir within our hearts, in our lives, anything that brings us closer to Jesus. And so different things like this are like reading God's word, praying, worshiping God, being in life groups. They stir our affection to God. And so we can walk by the Spirit. And out of that, Paul describes two paths that people often take. So you, like, for example, you can walk by the flesh, and there'll be results of a life of that. And he lists all these things of fleshly desires of this world. Or if you are walking by the Spirit, you have fruit in your life. It's called the fruits of the Spirit. How many have ever heard that? Fruits of the Spirit. Actually, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to it. It's in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So walking by the Spirit, in tune to the Holy Spirit in our lives, the Holy Spirit then produces fruit out of our lives. Joy, peace, patience, and so forth. You don't produce that on your own. You're like, be joyful. No, it's the Holy Spirit producing that in and through your life. What I want to look at today is in Galatians 6, where now the Spirit leads people, us, in action specifically towards other people. And being led by the Spirit. So we're going to look at two examples of being led by Spirit and under how that plays out. So if you take notes, man, now's the time to get out your notepad, grab a pen, paper, whatever, because we have a lot of notes. You good? I don't see pens, man. Pull out your phone, whatever. Okay, so number one, Spirit-led people don't tear down, they restore. Galatians 6, 1 through 5, it says this. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are what? Spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. So it says this in verse 1. If anyone is caught in any transgression. So that word caught can mean one of two things. One could be caught up in a transgression. Like you're just caught up in something that you never intended for it to happen. You never thought you would be in this place, but you are in a position where you're just like, man, I am caught up in this. I'm not sure even how to get out of this. It's, I don't like it. I want help in it. I'm caught up in it. So that's one area. The other is like, you're just caught like your kid in the hand in a cookie jar. You're just caught in it, like busted, you know? And you're like, and so you're caught up in it. Regardless, you're caught in a transgression or sinful action. And so it's important for us to know this. Listen, who Paul's talking to is he's talking to Christians and how these Christians should respond to another believer who is caught up in sin. Because if you respond this way to somebody who is not a follower of Jesus Christ, they may not look at what they're doing as sinful at all. They're not under any kind of conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so what he's talking about here is, okay, you are a brother or sister in Christ, you're following Jesus, and you have somebody who is near and dear to you that is involved in sin, caught up in sin. How are you to address that? How are you to help them? How are you to walk with them? And here's the thing. You have to be led by the Spirit, because if you're led by your own flesh desire, what we tend to do is we come down with the hammer and bring down guilt. We bring down shame. We bring down, you're such an idiot, you know, that kind of attitude. But the Holy Spirit, what we see is the Holy Spirit doesn't bring condemnation. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. And so in Romans 8, 1, Paul writes this about the Holy Spirit in our lives. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful passage, right? So you deal with sin for sure, because sin's ultimate desire is to bring destruction to a human being. Sin wants to pull us away from God. Wants to kill, steal, and destroy is what the Bible says about the enemy, sin, the devil. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy it. So you got to handle it like you're in a war. And I talked about this last week, that your friend, whoever it is that is caught up in this, if continuing down that path is going to lead them to destruction, So you can't passively think, oh, it's not that big a deal. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal because it'll lead them to destruction. But you handle it in such a way that restores, not to destroy. And so we who are spirit-led, led by the Holy Spirit to help a person, how do we do that? So first, we care for the burden of the person. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Man, all of us in this room struggle, right? If you don't struggle, man, whew, you're awesome. All of us struggle with one area or not. And we need to go to somebody and say, I see you're struggling. I see this in your life, and I want to come along and help you. I'm not going to condemn you. I want to help you through the process of what you're going through to bring you to a place of healing and restoration in your life. And so we can't just passively say to somebody, that, especially if somebody comes up to you and said, man, I'm just struggling lately, just say, wow, that's tough. Want to go bowling? You know, it's like, dude, care for them. If somebody is struggling with addiction, help them. Help them get into a place where they can get the help they need to overcome addiction. If somebody comes to you and you know they're deep in pornography, man, be their accountability partner. Walk with them. Help them. If there's a marriage that's falling apart, go to them and say, man, let's get you help. Let's get you some counseling. Let's do whatever it takes to help you through this process. And here's the biggest thing, and don't discount it, because it's the most important thing you could do. Pray for them. And don't say this, man, I'll be praying for you, and don't pray for them. Don't do that. That's like if you're going out on a date and say, I got the check, and you walk out the door. It's like, see ya. Man, pray for them. Pray. Stop right then and pray for them. Don't discount the power of prayer. There's so much power in praying for. Man, this is why we have prayer partners every Sunday. It's because sometimes we don't have the strength to even utter a word. And so we need people around us who will pray for us and with us. And so, man, if you have a friend or somebody is like, man, you know they're struggling, go to them, I'm just going to pray for you. Let's pray right now, and let's just intercede and just pray. And maybe you don't even have the words to say, and just you're just in silence, an arm and on an arm, and you're just like, let's go through to God and ask God to help us with this. And I've shared this story before. It's in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 is this story where Jesus is in this house and he's teaching. And there's so many people around the house, so many people listening and wanting to be here. And you got these four guys who have one friend who's a cripple. And they know that Jesus can heal their friend. And so these four guys, Matt, they're carrying their friend, and they're trying to get through, and they can't get their friend to Jesus. So what do? They climb up on the house, rip the roof off, and they lower their friend down to Jesus. They did whatever it takes to bring their friend to Jesus. Are you that kind of person? A spirit-led person does whatever it takes. My friend is hurting. He's going down a path that is wrong, and I need to get him to Jesus. So a spirit-led person will do whatever it takes, tear down walls, break in rooftops, knock down doors, whatever, pay out money, whatever it takes to get their friend help, because their eternity is at stake. And then second with it, have humility. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. No one has that as a life verse. You know, that's not a bumper sticker. You know, But let each one of us test his own work, and then reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Man, I don't like arrogant people. I just say, if you're arrogant and egotistical, I'm not going to hang out with you. If someone's caught in transgression, don't go out and say, that sucks. I don't struggle with that. And don't be that kind of person. Be compassionate. Have humility. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 7, is a great description of how Jesus came to earth. And it says that Jesus was in heaven, did not consider equality with God something to hold on to grasp, but instead he became a man, and not just a man, he became a servant to man. God becomes man, and not just a man, he becomes a servant to man, that he lives among them, and then he died for mankind. The Creator dies for his creation. In Jesus, you watch his life. How many times he just stops? I'm going to help this person. I'm going to stop at this well because I know in the middle of the day there's going to be a woman who comes who is in shame, who is in sin, and I need to talk to her. I'm going to stand with this woman who was caught in adultery. Everybody's got stones to throw at her, but I'm going to say, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. And then I'm going to look at her and I'm going to say, I don't condemn you either. He was a man of compassion, God, in humility, loving his creation. And so if we have the Spirit of God in us, we should respond the same, right? We should walk in humility and love and compassion for the goal of not tearing down, but the goal to restore, to help. Which leads to the next point. Spirit-led people invest in what matters. Verses 6 through 10. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows in his own flesh will reap from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows in the Spirit will reap from the Spirit, reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are the household of faith. So, this is the law of sowing and reaping. We all know this to be true, right? If you spend this week drinking monster drinks and eating Doritos, which some of you are like, that's my perfect week. You're going to reap what you sow, man. You're going to like, oh my Lord. But if you eat healthy, workout, exercise, you're going to reap what you sow, both good and bad, right? This law of sowing and reaping is a law both in good and bad. So Paul says, you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow in the Spirit, you get life. And so he gives some examples of how we are to reap. And so there's three examples here. As a Spirit-led person, this is what we are to sow in. Therefore, we will reap from. Okay? You follow? Yes. Okay. Thank you, that one person. All right. First, sow into those who teach the Word of God. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now, this may come across as awkward, because it is, because I'm your pastor and I teach the word of God. And I'm like saying, hey, sow into me. What Paul is saying here is the people who take their time to invest in you, to teach you spiritual things. It could be a pastor, it could be an elder, it could be a mentor, it could be a life group teacher, it could be a Sunday school teacher, it could be a mentor, it could be a parent, whoever is, take the time to sow into you, to teach you about God, you are to bless them. It says that you need to give all good things to them. All good things. all good things to the person who is investing in your life, spiritual things. So what are all good things? All good things can be material support. You bless them financially. You bless them with food. You bless them with resources. You can bless them with material support. You can bless them in partnership. Like, hey, I want to come alongside you. I see you got a lot on your plate. I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to be a partner with you in the advancement of the gospel. You can bless them in broad support with encouraging words, honor, and respect. One of the best ways you can support somebody who teaches the Word of God is if somebody's speaking negative about them, stop it. Just honor them and respect them. I'm not trying to be self-serving here. This is not about me. This is about anyone in your life who has taken the time to speak into your life to teach you about God. And you say, well, how do I reap from that? Don't you think that person who is spending time with you teaching the Word of God will do it with more enthusiasm, more joy, more excitement if he knows you're actually like it? If you're actually like benefiting from it, that you're actually growing from it, it sparks them to be more diligent about speaking into you. And so sow into those who invest their time and energy of teaching you the Word of God. Second, sow into knowing God himself. Verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Listen, if you are relying on your spiritual growth on this service alone, you're going to starve. If you think Christianity is all about attending 1 hour of service a week, and some of you are not even that. It's like once a month. Or I saw you last Christmas. You know, whatever. If you're relying on that for your spiritual growth, you're not growing at all. If you want to be led by the Spirit, if you want the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you, if you want to grow in your knowledge of who God is, you need to get in the Word of God on a daily basis. You need to pray and seek the face of God on a daily basis. Because listen, I know this may surprise you. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. Shocking, right? There's a lot of false teaching. You get on social media and you look and say, man, this guy seems legit, but it seems kind of weird. I don't know what is true or not true. You need to be in the Word of God. Because listen, you've heard this illustration before where somebody who deals with counterfeit money, they don't study all the thousands of counterfeit out there. Where do they study? The real thing. When they study the real thing, anything that comes against it, like, whoa, there's something off here. Because they know the real thing. So don't just take my word for it. Just because I'm preaching, don't just say, well, Dane must have said it. No, you study the Word of God. You get in the Word of God. And therefore, if I say something that, I don't know about that. Man, you'll know because you've been in the Word. You've been in the Word. If anybody else comes and says, well, we got this new revelation. Dude, you're like, no way, man, because the Bible clearly says this. Yeah. And so be in the Word. And then listen, how it works. If you're in the Word, you're going to be in tune to the Spirit, and you're going to be in tune of how that Spirit's going to lead you. Yeah. That's how it works. And so if you're not in the Word, how do you expect the Spirit to lead you anywhere? How did Peter know to go to Cornelius? How did Paul know to go to certain cities? How did Philip know to go up to this chariot and stand by this chariot? How do you know? Because they're in the Word. They're in a relationship with God. And when you're in relationship with God on a daily basis, opportunities for the Spirit to lead you to certain things, to see the glory of God shine in and through your life, become more and more. They become a regular part of your life because you're in the Word of God. And God's going to honor that and bless you through it. And so be a person of the Word. And then third, sow into doing good for others. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So here's an idea. Be nice. I know I'm talking crazy, but just be nice to people. Smile. Have you ever tried that? Smile. Be kind to others. You remember this thing called COVID? I don't know if you remember it, but it seemed to bring out anger in people. It divided people. And just like this, oh, you this, you that, you know, and we had these camps, all of a sudden, division everywhere. And like, let's just treat people with respect. Let's just try to be nice people. If Jesus lives in you, the light of Jesus should shine out of you. If you are an angry, grumpy person, I don't know if you're a Christian. Man, just start living for Jesus and seeing people, whether they're believers or not, that they're people made in the image of God. And they deserve respect, even if they're yelling and you, everything they believe in is totally against what you believe in. Huh. How about just treating them as a person made in the image of God and loving them and caring about them? And so Jesus was asked this question, and it was a trick question by this lawyer who wanted to justify himself and also wanted to trap Jesus. And it's in Luke chapter 10. It says this: "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to a test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said, 'What is written in law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself," meaning I want to prove that I am a good person, he says, "Well, then who's my neighbor?" And so he's wanting to prove that, man, I'm good. I just tell me who the neighbor is, and I'll do it. And Jesus says this. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, and when he came to the place, he saw him and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." So you have two people who are professional mercy givers, a priest and a Levite. They see a man who is hurting and they walk around. Then you have a Samaritan who is hated by the Jews, is despised by the Jews, they're the enemy of the Jews, sees this man, and this outsider comes in and helps the man and brings him to an inn and pays for his expenses. Compassion, showing mercy. We who are Spirit-led, who have the Holy Spirit living in us, should not pass by, but we should engage. Find a need and heal it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be people with your eyes wide open and say, "Man, I just need to help somebody. I want to help somebody." It's God working in you to do it. So a Spirit-led person is a person that sees a fellow brother or sister in need. They're in sin. They're in transgression. And with humility, with compassion, walks alongside them and helps them. And a spirit-led person is one who invests in the people who are investing in them, in their spiritual life. They invest in the Word of God, and they invest in helping other people. That's the characteristics of a person who's being led by the Spirit. Those things right there. But here's what I want to ask you is this, is do you have the Spirit in you? Have you said yes to Jesus? See, the greatest decision, the greatest opportunity that each of us has is to say yes. I just want to walk that way. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to be led by the Spirit. Because, man, if you're trying to do all these things, you're going to get tired, you're going to get worn out, and you're not going to be very successful. You may do it for a little while, but it's when the Spirit enables you and gives you the power to do it, and it's only through a relationship with God that we can enable or help others in their life. It's by you being in tune with God, and that only comes when you say yes to Jesus. You see, the Bible says this, that we are all sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Every one of us in this room are imperfect people. All of us. All of us have found ourselves in a pit, in a miry pit, and unable to save ourselves. All of us. It could be a sin that we keep struggling with or whatever. And it's only by Jesus who has not just given us a second chance, he's given us a new life. That he's come into this world and he died on the cross. The Bible says that he took our place. He took our sin. And he gave us his righteousness. And he says, you who are filthy and dirty, I'm going to take your filthiness, I'm going to take your dirtiness, and I am going to put my Spirit in you. This is nothing you have done. This is all his doing. We simply say, yes, I want that. I want that. In the book of Revelation, it says this of Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens his door, his life to me, I will come in and he will be with me and I with him. So today is the day where Jesus may be standing at your heart right here, right now. Say, I just want to be with you. I know the hurt you have. I see the pain you're going through. I know the difficulty you're going through. And I can heal it. I can set you free. And you simply have to say yes to Jesus. Not yes to church. Not yes to religion. But yes to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage us today, and we're going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're going to close with a song, but I want to pray two things for us today. First, I want to pray for anyone in this room who's just feeling God move in their heart, even right now. It's like, man, I do want to walk with God. I want that relationship that we receive that. We say yes. We just say, yeah. Father, forgive me of my sin. Come in and restore a right relationship with you. So we're going to pray for that. And then we're also going to pray for those who are in relationship with God that, Lord, just help me to be led by you, be led by the Spirit. Open my eyes to hurts around me. Open my eyes to needs around me. Lead me to the place you want me to go. Help me to step into that with confidence. Help me to step into it with boldness. For your glory and your glory alone. So would you just right now bow your heads in prayer? We're going to pray for the first one of saying yes to Jesus. And so would you just, if that's you, just say this prayer in your own words, your own way, right now. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you love me so much that you died on the cross for me. That you took my sin upon yourself and you promise, God, that you give me a new life. So right here, right now, I say yes. I want you, Jesus. I want you in my life. I want to be a new creation. For forgive me of my sin. And you are now the Lord, King, God of my life. And I thank you for that relationship I now have with you. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room who's called upon your name, that you would lead us by your Holy Spirit. Lead us to help those who are in need. Lead us to see the cares of those around us. Lead us into a deeper dive of who you are, into your word. Let us be filled with compassion, humility, love, and grace, not condemnation, but this desire to help. Lead us to people this week. Lead us to circumstances this week of how we can help and be used by you for your glory. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man, would you stand with me? We're going to close with this song. And as we're standing, if you've said yes to Jesus, if you've made that prayer today, let us know about that. Come up and tell us. And we invite you next Sunday to our Next Steps class at 9 a.m. We're just helping you in your walk with God. Let's close with this song.